tightly met, who we believe and were confirmed by the military to have not been exposed or minimally exposed at best.
So that would be what, 26?
17 controls and 10 people who we felt were heavily exposed.
10 people heavily exposed.
Yes.
And what was the result of the statistical analysis of this?
The statistical analysis in both blood plasma analysis and in adipose tissue analysis indicated that those that we felt had been heavily exposed had in fact been exposed 10 times the level that those controls had been. I believe the, I didn't bring that, yeah, here it is, right here. Among the exposed, doctor, the mean for the exposed Vietnam veterans was 46.3 parts per trillion in blood and 41.7 in adipose, which you can see that correlation.
Now, this was analyzed by a statistician. He felt these figures were significant from a statistical standpoint.
Yes, Dr. Michael Gottschfeld, who's a assistant professor in the department of at Robert Wood Johnson Medical School, and Dr. Ralph Fogelman, who is a industry toxicologist and a member of our commission, did the analysis and arrived at, a confidence rating that was quite high for this work. And as you know, we did work closely with CDC, and they reported findings very similar in the work that they had done. I think that work had mostly been on Times Beach residents. And as you know, certain other works have been reported with ranch handlers and others that pretty much were CDC and the Jersey and Orange Commission the only people that are doing the blood plasma testing exclusively now. We're not doing any more of the adipose tissue. But we just recently sent, if I might add here, to Sweden, I believe, a total of 11 samples and another 14 samples will be sent shortly for analysis. Most of these samples are from deceased Vietnam veterans. Most are, if not all, are tissue. Obviously, some tissue we're not going to be able to analyze. I will be back here Monday in another matter. Obviously, what the levels are in that case. But Wayne Barton's case is so unique. And sometimes, I'm not a physician doctor, but I think sometimes this business of Agent Orange just gets completely out of hand. And I want to talk about levels that science and people in your profession find, okay? These are the things that hold up. And I really don't care about what some PR guy at CDC runs around the country saying. I'm not going to say what he says, okay? I don't think we want any citizen of this country to be walking around with 20 parts per trillion of dioxin in their body. And to use those kinds of numbers is, I think, just irresponsible on the part of CDC to try to draw some conclusion that that's what we all have in our bodies. That's clearly not the case. And I think the research clearly shows that Wayne Mark was moderately exposed to Vietnam and not driving a truck or in the cornfields of Iowa. The evidence does not support that kind of conclusion. It just doesn't. I hope I answered your question. And you know, this is a controversial and emotional issue. And, I think any criticisms at me personally should not, or the way that this matter is dealt with, should not influence in any way what is first-class research. And the Journal of American Medical Association, peer review, and your colleagues recognize it as such. And I think that's the bottom line, and it applies to this matter.
We never heard of you before this morning.
Thank goodness.
Right. Yes, I've got a couple questions. First of all, I'm just curious, on the 10 individuals that you believed had been heavily exposed that you used for this study, what was the basis for determining that they had been heavily exposed?
We require, we have a five-member selection committee composed of two physicians, three physicians, one scientist, and me. We go through a preliminary selection procedure based on some information that's provided to us by the veteran. We then require a very detailed, confidential 30-page questionnaire to be completed. On the basis of a number of factors, including military records, interviews, and so forth, we make a determination on exposure. We do some scoring in a model that we are developing called an environmental model. We score it out, then we ask the Department of Defense to either confirm or find a problem with our rating. We said the 10 people were heavily exposed. DOD said they were also heavily exposed. We said 17 controls were not exposed, either by virtue of the fact they did not serve in Vietnam, or even if they did, we felt that they were minimally or not exposed, and the research indicates that that is the case. Out of a total of 27 people, I think we missed the boat on one individual.
Now, the 10 that were selected, from what area of the country were they drawn?
I believe several were ranch handlers. And obviously, you're familiar with the ranch hand unit. The others came from various geographical regions of Vietnam, everywhere from the Saigon, Thompson Newt area to up north. So the distribution was pretty general throughout Vietnam.
So then, in this group of 10, then we had people who, like the ranch handlers, for which there's no doubt that they actively were handling the material there.
Although an analysis, one of the lowest levels was among the ranch here, which is interesting.
Was he air crew or ground crew?
Air crew. Retired.
Pilot?
No, loadmaster in the back.
Now the
and it just indicates to us the function of the body. With additional resources, perhaps we can find out why this person is obviously able to excrete dioxin and other people appear not to be able to. In our research, the highest levels were not among ranch hands. They were found among two Army personnel. I believe one had 160 parts per trillion 19 years after exposure, and I believe the other had 184 parts per trillion. One was a clerk who had been assigned to a chemical unit, and the other was a chemical person. And apparently both had been involved in backpack sprays.
Like around perimeters, duty
yeah.
of that nature.
Yeah. And we ended up with a clerk. We think we know why. We ended up with a clerk, what we said was a non-exposed individual with 14.9 parts per trillion. However, we missed about a seven-week period in his military history, and we're back looking at that to see if that's where we missed something.
Once again, I didn't quite get my mind set on what you were saying. As far as these 10 individuals, these were drawn from all across the country?
Yes.
Okay. And likewise, the 17 control.
Yes. When you say a country, you mean Vietnam or United States?
U.S.
Oh, across the country, yeah.
Okay. And just for purposes of clarifying the record, according to the medical records that were available, Mrs. Barton, there was a notation in there at one point that your husband had what the doctors list as a 40 to 60 pack year history of smoking.
Yeah. 40 to 60.
Well, we sometimes have trouble understanding that also.
That
as near
bad.
As we can determine what that is calculated on the basis of, in effect, how many packs per day times how many years you've smoked. So if it was one pack per day for 20 years, they typically call that, I believe, a 120 pack year history. If it was like two packs per day for 20 years, they call that a 40-pack-year history.
Excuse me for interrupting, but I think you probably received that information from the autopsy report.
Okay.
This material, two years ago today, my husband went to Iowa City for the Agent Orange screening, of which he was interviewed for over two hours by Dr. Ewell, who is the Agent Orange screening physician. And I'm sure, as all of us, we tend to forget things at times. And
sure.
Wayne made the excruciatingly painful trip to Iowa City think that he was going to be tested for the blood analysis, for the CBC, the urinalysis, the chest x-ray, and received nothing that day because we had taken all the literature with us from our findings at the local hospitals, clear back to from our family doctors. So we took all that information with us, and they chose not to do any testing. But what I'm saying is, he was asked very, very much about his smoking that day. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they asked the age that he started smoking. I'm sure he probably tried it at age 13. But I, like you, read the same autopsy report, and it sounds like he smoked this this much back at age 13. And I still know his mother very, very well. Mm-hmm. And both his mother and his father are wonderful people, and they certainly would not have allowed a three-pack a day habit at age 13.
Okay. Just
I hope that explains
right,
a little bit.
There's some dispute about the level of smoking.
Right.
We don't deny that it's slow. But
I understand what the position is here, and I think you understand what I'm getting at. But I was just asking if, based on your own recollection, approximately what was his smoking
habit?
And we don't, clearly, we're not going to suggest that smoking rates would be in some kind of. Clearly, there's a factor here. Okay,
right.
I think there's a correlation.
Right. I think I think we understand each other on what we're talking about here. I was just, in terms of the record itself, I was just wanted to clarify for my own purposes here, whatever this
people,
history.
People was. Misunderstand that TCDD does not cause cancer. I mean, we're talking about something that promotes and may promote certain types of cancers. Given a potential for doing that where there are other risk factors involved, such as smoking, okay, or stress or what have you. So, and I think that's what we're saying here.
Right, I understand that line of argument.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I believe that completes the questions I had, Mr. Chairman.
That completes the board's question. We had somebody come in the room. Boy, lost track of who. Hey, Laurie Becker. I'd like to acknowledge your presence. And I believe that finishes the board's participation in this. Is there someone else that would like to testify? Like you all said for some time.
The only other thing I would ask is that perhaps the board might avail itself of any findings that might be available from the VA's proportionate mortality study that Dr. Kang is continuing. I don't know if that's, I think that's nearing completion, and I understand they're taking a closer look at Army personnel who served up in I Corps. It may be useful to take a look at, see what they found since that study was first done.
Ms. Marinelli is our resident.
Sleuth.
Sleuth, I guess. She spent most of her time with Agent Army. Pursuing all the study notes. She'll be delighted to get the one from Sweden, as we will be. So we leave no stone unturned. And we do thank you. Ms. Barton, anything else you'd like to say?
No.
Been a long trip.
Yeah.
And thank you for taking the time to come down.
Thank you.
And Mr. Wilton, thank you for a very fine representation. And we don't make a decision today. We grind on like the mill to the gods, but we will do it in the future.